attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, the law office is open. And we're open every Saturday morning at this time. And all you have to do if you want to ask a question is to dial the magic toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Your question can be just about anything. Can be about wills, trust, can be about power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills, can be about personal injury, can be about just next door neighbor problems, can be just about any area of law. So if you have a legal question, the phone lines are open. And I am more than glad to be here and more than glad to help you understand legal issues and talk about legal issues. And again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin, host of Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law for over 30, coming up next month or so, 35 years. Longest running show, continual show in Florida. And right up there in the nation too, I'm sure, with long running continual shows with the same host, the same format. And the format is really just to help people understand legal issues. Your question, when you call in, is going to help someone else. Your question is going to make them more aware of an legal issue they might be involved in, and they could receive help from you trying to figure out your situation. So again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin. The law office is open. We practice law in Florida. We are heard all over the country, though. I'm only licensed in Florida, can only really give legal advice concerning Florida issues. The toll-free number is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Last week, for a few minutes when we opened the show, we talked about Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln not having a will. And dying, and his estate took over 2 years. A Supreme Court justice took over and finalized his estate. He didn't plan anything, though. He didn't plan for his family. He didn't plan personal possessions. He didn't do anything as far as estate planning goes. You know, that many celebrities, Prince died not too long ago, and Prince died without a will. Can you imagine someone with all the wealth, all of the gold albums, all the things, all the money, all the possessions he had, and died without any planning? And when you do that, you leave it up to the state of Florida. So how many people would like to die in Florida that are listening to the show, or anywhere really, and die and not have a plan for your family? Do you want to give one family more than another family member? Do you want to take care of special needs of someone? Do you want to not be able to just give them a whole bunch of money all at once because they wouldn't know how to do with it? Do you want to plan it, control it? Prince died without any estate planning. Just unbelievable. And if you did in Florida, if you die without an estate plan, it goes through a statutory probate proceeding. Statutory probate is very expensive. Attorney starts off getting like 3%, goes down a little bit the higher the estate. But there's a large amount of money that is paid in legal cost, and then you're having the state be in charge of who's going to be the personal representative, who's going to be in charge of the estate, how the money's going to be distributed, and it's just a black and white issue with no planning that goes into that. Let's go to Christina in Arbondale. Hey, Christina.
Hi.
Hi. What can we do for you?
Yes, the question that I have is, my mother passed away, and she had a life insurance policy on me. I'm insured that she's the policy holder. Upon her death, they won't give us any information. They said that we had to get the estate and get everything put in my name.
Mm-hmm.
We have the papers, and we have an attorney that's doing everything. My question is, how long of a process does that take? Because she didn't have an estate. You know, we didn't have anybody. We just, the other brothers and sisters signed off quick claim deeds because my mother wanted me to have the property mm-hmm. and the insurance policy.
Well, let me answer that by saying this. You're represented by another attorney, so it's unethical for me to get too deep into your question and try to now be your attorney when you already have one. So let me say, generally, a probate proceeding in Florida generally takes 6 months to a year from start to finish. There's a three-month period of time where you have to advertise in the paper, and creditors can. The 3 months is for creditors to be able to file a claim against the estate. So there's a process of getting that started. You have to satisfy the court with all of their requirements. So I would say easily at least 6 months most of the time. Sometimes it could be a little bit quicker, but most of the time it's 6 months to a year.
Okay, and that's assuming that everybody is going smoothly and not having any.
Yeah, if you get a will contest or some family member that's disgruntled about something and gets another attorney gets involved, and then you never know. It can. Some estates have been open for years and years and years, just with everybody fighting. Hopefully, that isn't the case. So normal would be 6 months and maybe up to a year, I would say.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. It's hard to give an exact answer to that question. So when you call an attorney and say how long is it going to take, they might not know exactly. But I would just say an estimate of a good range would be 6 months to a year. All right, let's go to Angela in Kissimmee.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My problem is my neighbor has a 3 years ago, with the hurricane, his fence is leaning over into my property. Because I do not have much room between the houses, and it makes it difficult for a lawnmower to ride through there to be able to cut the lawn.
Well, the fence is on your property?
It is leaning over onto my property. It's his fence, but it's leaning.
What about the ground level? Is that?
It's over on my side.
By how much? How much of the ground has he taken that's yours?
He's taken almost all of it, because what happened is I have my.
How many feet? How many feet of land is he taking that's on the fence? Is actually the posts are actually on your property?
What happened is I just have zero lot between him and I. I don't have like a big set of property in between, just zero lots. So the fact that the fence is leaning over is really taking up most of what I have.
Have you talked to him about it?
I did. I went to the HOA, and he just refused to do it. I don't know what else to do. I've spoken to him numerous times.
You have zero lot line. What does that mean to you?
I think 5 feet between the houses.
Well, it's only 5 feet between the houses.
Yeah.
And you said you have a lawnmower, so you have grass to cut?
Yeah, I have to. I can get in there with a push one. But if I have someone to come to cut it for me, they cannot get in there because it's leaning so far over.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
you could write him a certified letter, and if that doesn't work, you tell him you're going to get an attorney, then follow up on your promise that you're going to get an attorney to write a letter, and then you try to force him to move it through a legal letter, if it takes that much, and then discuss with the attorney your rights on just having the fence removed. So basically you set a 5 foot foot line, so if the property in any way is on your property, you could have it removed, and you could put that in your letter.
Okay.
Because you own your land, and he can't put anything on your land. In fact, if you don't do something, one day he could claim adverse possession, and possibly he would own the land that he's occupying now.
Okay.
So I'd have an attorney look into it real quick.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Frank in the Villages.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. What station are you listening to?
90.3, I think it is.
Okay, great.
And we're in the Villages in the central of Florida in Sumter County.
Yeah, we have an office in Fruitland Park. Attorney Patrick Smith, who's on the show about once a month, runs that office. So.
In fact, I thought I saw an advertisement that showed about your show and that. And
yeah.
Okay. The question we have is, we have one property that we lived in for 5 years, and then we bought another property, one in Lake County, one in Sumter County, and we were wondering what should be on our deed.
Do you have a trust?
No, we don't have a trust. We don't have that many assets in that. But
let me ask you this. Most people say, I don't have that many assets. But the assets you do have, including these two pieces of real estate, do you want them to go through probate?
No.
Yeah, so a trust on almost any size estate, you put the real estate into the trust, and that would avoid probate upon your death. And what should be on the deed? It would just be your name. Are you married?
Yes.
And you and your wife own the property jointly?
Well, that's the problem. The one property we put just in my name, and the new property we've got in both names. We originally had the other property in both names, but we moved it to one when we were refinancing this one.
All right, so when you would die, if you died first, would you want that property be owned by your wife?
Yes.
Okay. So in this case, if we were involved in this for you, and if we did a trust, it would be a joint trust we would do. We would re-deed the properties with what's called a quitclaim deed, and we would deed it from you on one deed to you and your wife as trustees of your trust, and the other deed would be from you and your wife as owners to you and your wife as trustees of your trust. So it would be a quitclaim deed, and that would take care of any probate upon death, and that would also ensure that she would be the sole owner of that property upon your death if you died first.
Okay, so we put it in Frank and Karen as a husband and wife for this trust.
Right.
I thought there was some specific terminology. And if we didn't have a trust, is there any specific terminology that we would use?
Well, you have other options, but if you wanted to go through, if you wanted to avoid probate, the best, in my opinion, the best option is to put it into the trust to avoid probate.
Okay.
So, there's a ladybird deed. You could do it joint with right of survivorship with another party, which would be a gift, and then that causes some gift tax implications, and that would cause possible problems with your homestead. So really, the best and simplest way, and the cost is not that much greater. If you and your wife came to our office, we pretty much have a flat fee schedule, did two wills, two power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and two living wills. The fee for all of those documents would be around $620. If you did a living trust package, it's $795, and so it's only $175 more. But the big benefit is no probate, no guardianship, quick, easy, fast, efficient, and private.
Okay. So, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. All right. All right, let's go to Attorney John Frazier. John's a Medicaid VA attorney in our practice and calls in every week on one of our shows and gives a Medicaid VA tip for the week. So what are we talking about today, John?
Hey, Joe. How are you doing today?
Good.
Today I was going to talk about the assisted living Medicaid waiting list. I think many of our prospective clients do not realize that there's a very, very significant difference here in Florida between an assisted living facility and a skilled nursing facility. Right now, if a person is qualified for Medicaid and in a nursing facility, they will obtain immediate Medicaid benefits. However, if a person is in an assisted living facility, even if they're financially qualified, they would be put on a Medicaid waiting list. And so there's a way around that. It's called the 60-day transition program. The person would actually have to start out in a skilled nursing facility, and then after 60 days would bypass that waiting list. The other option is if the person is in an assisted living facility, they can call the local area on agency on aging and be put on that waiting list. Unfortunately, I've heard that there are in excess of 40,000 people on that waiting list right now. And it's that waiting list priority is based on the person's medical need. I do, however, have people occasionally, their name comes up on that waiting list, and we're able to get them on assisted living Medicaid. But it's a really big issue because not all of our clients need to care in a nursing facility, and they would be better suited to go to an assisted living facility.
Well, is there any pre-planning a person can do to speed things up?
I think the waiting list is based entirely on the person's medical needs. So the more frail that they are, the higher that they will be on that waiting list. So I think an attorney could potentially help by pointing out the various activities of daily living that need to be pointed out on the waiting list process. So I think that that's one thing that can be done, but it's not based on financial need. It's based on medical need.
All right. John, I hear a lot of clients think that they have to spend down their money and it's going to take a while, or they get in a nursing home and they have to pay for private care for a long time as they spend down their money to qualify for Medicaid. So basically, if a person had, I'm just going to make up an example here. So say a person has $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
In countable assets. Now, homes don't count, primary automobile doesn't count, and there's some other assets. But how long would it take you normally to reorganize the estate and move the countable assets that disqualify them from Medicaid into non-countable assets or non-countable categories? How long does it normally take just on an average for you to reposition things so they can get Medicaid benefits as quick as you could possibly do? How long does it normally take?
I think it really depends on the complexity of the situation. I would say that it would really never take more than 60 days. A simple situation would be as if you had $300,000 in one checking account or two bank accounts, because you can simply write checks out of those accounts. But our typical fact pattern involves more complicated assets, for example, annuities that have to be liquidated, stocks in certificate form. We've even had situations where you have stocks in certificate form and those stock certificates are lost, and it could take 6 weeks just to deal with that. But typically, we can get everything done for virtually all of our cases, the asset restructuring, within 60 days. And then the Medicaid application process, the DCF caseworker is supposed to issue a decision within 30 days of the Medicaid application.
All right, and people also need to know that if they try to gift money away to qualify for Medicaid, there's a five-year look-back period of possible up to that long disqualification.
Right. There's really only two exceptions to that. A person, if they're married, they can transfer unlimited amounts to their spouse. There are some exceptions for adult disabled children also, some specific exceptions. Other than that, you're not allowed to give your assets away to get Medicaid. And what I tell people is, you know, if everybody could just give their assets away, I would not be working in this practice area, and I'd be doing real estate law or some other area of the law, because everybody would just give their assets away and they'd be on Medicaid.
Yeah, I always tell people you can't qualify. You can't give everything away one day and qualify for Medicaid the next. Hey, John, how can people contact you if they had a Medicaid question, or maybe have a loved one in a nursing home and pay on private pay and they'd like to talk to you about that 60-day period of maybe getting everything moved around so they can maximize government benefits and preserve their estate? So what's your contact information?
The office number is 727-586-3306, extension 104. My cell phone is 813-431-3193. And my email address is John, J-O-H-N, at attypip.com.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, have a great Saturday.
All right. You too.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Carlos in Tampa. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call. Quick question. I don't know what you do, family practice, law.
I have a full-time family law attorney on my staff.
Okay. The question is, I separated from my wife and I left everything to her and my daughter. And
you mean in your will or in your will or trust?
No. I mean in my house, my belongings.
Mm-hmm.
I left everything to them. In February, she filed for divorce. She had somebody to fill all the papers. And they calculate how much I'm supposed to give her monthly for child support. I received a notification from the court for the hearing in July. And she gave me the surprise that she showed with an attorney, which we were supposed to go agree on everything. That she shows, and this attorney asked the judge to delay or get another hearing because they felt that they were entitled to more money when everything was already calculated. There is something else that they could come out other than the reality is what
did,
I made.
Did you and your wife have anything signed in writing?
Well, she paid somebody previously to fill all the paperwork, and it was calculated, and then they said, her attorney said, mistakenly, she hired this person, but this person doesn't know anything. But the fact is that every single paper I've been receiving from the court is exactly the papers that the person she hired.
All right, but everything on those papers, Carlos, this is probably going to take too long for us to continue but we'd glad to be talked to you privately. So, but let me ask you this question. Is everything on those papers that were prepared, are they correct in your mind? Is there anything, room to for them to prove something on there is not accurate?
I don't think so, sir.
It's all.
Faithfully, we filed the papers faithfully.
All right, and did the judge grant the continuance?
Well, she declared as divorced. She declared that there is no debt and assets to fight for. She declared that there is no parenting issues. The only thing, she agreed with, she accepted their petition to extend to another hearing with a child support enforcement officer.
Did she grant the divorce?
She granted.
All right. Well, listen, here's the bottom line. Since your wife now, or your ex-wife, has an attorney, you definitely need your own attorney to counter whatever they're trying to do that you don't agree with. And, Carlos, I see you dropped off the line now, so just call our office if you want to. And as for Catherine, she's our family law attorney, if you don't have one and want to talk to someone. So the number, office number is 727-586-3306. Go to extension 200. Let's go to Susan in Clearwater.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Susan.
I don't know if you can help me with this. I live in a condo complex. And a while back, a neighbor of mine had a problem with their air conditioning. And the air conditioning units, it's a two-story building. Air conditioning units are on the top of the building. It's a flat roof. And evidently, when they had their service person come out, he said that the roofers buried some of the wires that are needed for the repair to be made to the air conditioner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in condos, obviously the air conditioner is our responsibility, but the roof isn't. And the homeowners association and the management here are insisting that the homeowner or the condo owner pay for the total amount of the repair. And it just doesn't seem right, but I don't know all of the details, and I don't know whether you have a suggestion for that or whether there's an organization. I that could help with that.
Well, there are attorneys that specialize in that area of law. I think somebody's going to have to make an appointment with one and take in your condo docs for them to review. And then maybe write a letter to the Homeowners Association of why it's their responsibility to get that fixed is probably probably what's going to have to happen.
I see. Okay. Okay. And so can you refer me to someone?
Yeah, if you want to call my office or send me an email, I'd be glad to try to find somebody to refer to you. So for anyone listening that would like to have our office information, we don't charge anything for first office appointments. If you or we don't, we'd love to mail you our free estate planning poster sheet. So all of the contact information is as follows. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3629. The local number for you, Susan, in Clearwater would be 586-3306, extension 200.
Okay.
So in Clearwater, yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law Now. Phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, we're about halfway through the show, actually. And the phone lines are just blitzed. We had all four lines full there for a few minutes. So we had a phone blitz. But anyway, if you now phone lines are open. So if you couldn't get in during that time, now you can. And our toll-free office number for you to call is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Hey, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be able to help as many people as I can. And we're about halfway through the show, and we've already had six calls, so need to help a few more people today. And I know you people out there have issues and things going on in their lives, and they don't know the answer. They don't know which direction to turn to. It's bothersome, and they need help or need some advice, and sometimes they just get depressed not knowing exactly what to do. Hey, give us a call. Be more than glad to chat with you a little bit, do our very best to help get you pointed in the right direction, and it doesn't cost anything. Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law, our longest-running show in Florida, and you have a toll-free number of 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we are more than glad to help you in any way we possibly can. So if you would like the free estate planning poster sheet, it's a large-size poster sheet, double-sided sheet. One side has five articles about estate planning. On the other side has all of our contact information. And if you would like it, I'd love to get it to you. So one of three ways you can do that. You can email me, Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. So Joe at attypip.com. You can call our toll-free office number at 1-800-226-3529. It's 1-800-226-3529. Let's go to JJ in Tampa. Hey, JJ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
I'm calling in reference to a problem that I had. I was a minister for 6 years on a small, on a fairly, well, big church here in Tampa, and I ran the Spanish mission. During that time of 6 years, we accumulated an amount of money for the ministry and the missions. I have issues with the new pastors that took over the church, and the old pastor had promised me the trip to Cuba and all that. Well, finally they ended up paying for the trip to Cuba, but the funds for the Spanish ministry that we have raised on our own the new pastor, decided to keep it. And we were at a place and with no funds. He still owes us $1,400.
Well, do you have a church? Do you have a church board? Do you have a deacon board? Do you have a?
No, right now we don't have anything. Right now we don't have anything.
All right, so
I'm planning another mission trip to Cuba, and we're gonna need that money. And I was wondering if there's a way to recuperate it so we can start a new church. And we can use it.
Yeah, obviously you need some legal help. And you probably need an attorney to write a letter to determine what's the status of that money. And if it was proper for the pastor to use it in that way. There's I could give you the name of an organization. It's the Christian Legal Society, which I'm a member of, actually. That well, let me. If you contact my office, I'll give you how to contact them, and maybe they could help.
Fantastic.
All right.
Can I have the number, please?
Well, just contact me at the office. I don't have all my numbers with me, as I said here at the radio station. But if you contact me, I'll be glad to try to help you.
Okay, I'll appreciate that. That's
all right.
Very helpful.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day, sir.
You
God
too.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. Ask an Attorney About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to, phone lines are open, by the way. Let's go to Jane in Clearwater.
Hello, Attorney Pippin. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have not, I don't have a will, and I don't have a living trust, so this is something I need to get done. But would I need also a CPA to work in conjunction with an attorney? Because I plan on leaving some money to charity. So for tax considerations, I want to make sure that my, some of my money does not go to taxes if it's not necessary.
Well, Jane, you have everyone listening to the show has an $11.4 million exemption from federal estate tax. So are you over that?
I don't have to worry about that.
Okay. So you can leave that much. To, now, you sometimes what gets into a question is if you have, do you have a large amount of retirement accounts?
What do you consider?
Well, an IRA, pension, 401k, things like that.
Yes.
Okay, sometimes in the estate plan, when I'm sitting down with a client and it comes up that they want to leave a large amount of money to charities, I ask those type of questions, and sometimes the charities could be the beneficiaries on those type of accounts, because if a person was to receive money from a retirement account, unless it's a Roth IRA or something like that, then they're going to pay taxes on the money they receive, but that's an income tax, not an estate tax.
Are you talking about gift annuities, or are there other things?
Well, there are built-up income on a... Well, those gift annuities, a person gets income, which is taxable, and then at the end of the day, the charity gets it. But what I guess my point is, I'm certain there are some assets in your estate that would be better served giving those to charities, and there are some assets in your estate that would be better, tax-wise, would be best to leave to an individual. So you can kind of pick and choose what assets do both. But if I were working with you, I would not need a CPA for that. I mean, that's something that I would just normally analyze anyway and help a client with. You know, if there was some complicated tax issue that the IRS could possibly get involved, then I could bring in a CPA, or I could conference call with your CPA. That would be normally the way I would handle that.
Oh, okay. Do you have an office in Clearwater?
I have one in Largo, which is next door neighbor to Clearwater, of course. It's right on East Bay Drive. It's right on one of the main strips in Largo there on East Bay Drive.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Yeah. So our local office number in Pinellas is 586-3306. Extension 200 gets you to an appointment.
Okay, very good. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And for those of you, bye-bye. For those of you who are listening, we have multiple office locations all around Florida. Our headquarters office, I call it, is in Pinellas County. We have two offices in Pinellas. We have two offices in Hillsborough County. We have offices in two offices in Polk County. We have offices in Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages. We have offices from St. Augustine to Jacksonville. We have office in Pasco County. And actually, we have found ways to help people all over the state that call us. A lot of times we can interview you on the phone, send you documents through the mail, have further conference calls with you, and then arrange for the signing of documents. You want to call our toll-free office number. It's 1-800-226-3529. Let's go to Pam in Tampa.
Hello?
Hey, Pam.
Hi. I'm calling with kind of a complicated question, at least to myself it seems complicated. So I am the caregiver for my mother, who is in the advanced stages of dementia. She lives here at home with me. I work, and I have, right now her grandson takes care of her when I'm at work, only because I haven't had any luck with caregivers in the home, private or through an agency. And she has a long-term care policy, but policy will not cover anybody living in the home to reimburse her. So she's paying my grandson, her grandson, out of pocket. It's coming out of her savings, and occasionally she's had to take money out of her pension, retirement, you know, her investments. And I'm concerned now that she has to pay taxes on that. And this may be something I have to come in and sit down and talk with you about, but you know, it's financially a burden, and there's no way I'm going to take her out of my home and put her anywhere else. She's my mother.
How much per hour does she pay your grandson?
15. I'm giving her 15 and him 15 an hour.
Yeah.
And she needs everything, you know, feeding, toileting. He's 21, and, I don't want him doing this for long. It's a burden for him. It's not a burden for him because we're very protective of her. And he doesn't want to let anybody else take care of her unless they're going to do the kind of job that we would do. And I know there's a level of care that your family is going to give versus a caregiver. But she's just been, you know, there's been just too many red flags with these people coming in my home, watching them on my cameras, and letting her sit, her legs swelling. And so,
how many hours a week does your son work?
Well, he's with her 10 hours Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then 6 hours on 3 days. So 25, 30 hours a week.
Yeah. So I do have somebody I could refer to you that owns a home health care service. Mm-hmm. And they have multiple levels of different type of people that they pay different rates for. But I personally, this is the only organization that I recommend to people right now, and they've done an excellent job, have a good history, have helped me with numerous types of clients in that circumstance. So if you want to get that information for me, just call me, and I'll be glad to share that with you. I'll tell you a little bit more about it.
Okay.
So I think, you know, it's good to have some family involvement, of course, but your son's going to need a break, and you need somebody trustworthy to come in there and do that, and I think I have the resource for you on that.
Oh, that would be a heaven sent. Okay. Do you want me to hold
that? Yeah, well, no, I'm live on the radio right now, so just call my office during the week, and I'll be glad to give that to you.
Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate your help.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Paul in Lake City.
Hi. I just turned the radio on. I didn't hear what your name was.
It's Joe Pippin.
Okay. Here's my question. If a man buys a lot when he's single, and then he gets married, it's only in his name. He gets married, then they get a divorce. Does the wife have a right to that property? Does never transfer in her name either? Just in his name.
Well, it depends on a number of factors. It depends on how long you were married, what the
15 years.
Yeah, once you are married that long, from from 0 to 7 years, there's one category of what generally happens, and then from 7 to, I think it's 15, it's another category. Then over 15, it's pretty much a split of at least the assets accumulated during the marriage, and then there are certain homestead rights, and it also depends on your income, her income, and a multitude of other type of factors. So you can't, I always like to answer that by saying you can't cherry pick one asset and ask me what's going to happen to it. There are too many other factors that would determine that.
Okay, now, well, it's just the lot. Nothing else is involved, just the lot that he owned before they got married.
Well, it's possible she'd be entitled to something in some level of support, and maybe half the proceeds of the lot or some portion of the lot. I can't tell you exactly what that would.
Can I make it just a
no, let me ask you this: would the parties could the parties agree if they got divorced on what she would be entitled to? I mean, could he offer her something that she would be happy with?
Right. Well, it's not at that point yet. What it is she applied and was approved for SSI disability on the disability aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said because the lot was worth $20,000, even though it was in his name, it was available to her, so they turned her down for assets because they're only allowed to have $3,000.
Well, that sounds like
disabled.
Yeah, that sounds like a Medicaid question.
It's Social Security.
Social Security disability?
Yeah.
Yeah, something.
They found her disabled, but they said that she had available that lot in her husband's name.
Well, I see. No, no, no. See, most Social Security disability claims have to be appealed, and it sounds like you take that to the next step by appealing it, and the outcome might be different. So you're in Lake City. Why don't you call a Social Security disability attorney in your area? If you need any help finding one, I can probably try to help you find one. And
okay.
see if you get a different answer if you talk to an attorney on that question.
Well, I'm a social worker, and I've been working with this family. And they just got turned. I talked with a woman at Social Security, and she said, well, even though it's in the husband's name, it's available to her. He's not interested in selling it because SSI is a form of welfare, and you're supposed to spend down any asset and have less than $3,000. So he said, oh, you got that $20,000 lot. He needs to sell it and spend the money, then you'd be eligible for disability. He said, he's not selling that.
Yeah.
So they're thinking about getting a divorce just so that she'll be eligible.
All right, I would still make a call to a Social Security disability attorney to see if they have a different take on how that can be done, and try to get one that's not going to charge you for the phone call or a free consult.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, we have about 7 minutes left in the show. Phone lines are going to be open right after we talk to Tracy. If you'd like to call the show in the remaining moments, it's 1-800-2- let me see, I'm giving you my office number here. So the number here at the station is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And let's go to Tracy in Largo.
Hi, good morning, Joe.
Hey, Tracy.
Thank you for taking my call. So my question is, I have a friend who had a bankruptcy, and he discharged a mortgage on a vacant lot that he had in Citrus County.
Okay.
The mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
The mortgage company, when I look at he has a tax. He hasn't paid taxes because he thought it was discharged.
Mm-hmm.
But when I reviewed the records, I don't see where the mortgage holder put in a quick claim deed or took possession of that property. So my question is, what we're debating, do we pay the back taxes, keep the lot, because technically it was discharged, so is there a statute of limitations for the bank to file? And if he does pay and wants to sell, with that being discharged without them having done their due diligence and what they needed to do, what's the ramifications of that?
Well, okay, so did he have a bankruptcy attorney?
It was a legal assistant who filed.
It was a legal assistant that worked for an attorney, though, a bankruptcy attorney.
I believe so. I'd have to double-check his documentation.
My advice would be to go back through that attorney that did the bankruptcy and ask him or her that question. Because, you know, mortgages or liens on property, so unless you've got a satisfaction of mortgage or it's clear in the bankruptcy. So he was discharged in bankruptcy. So the bankruptcy's ended, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that was in 2011.
And you have papers that clearly say that the mortgage on the real estate was discharged.
That's what was filed. Yes.
Okay. My advice would be to call the bankruptcy attorney and make sure you have a clear understanding of what was discharged.
Okay.
And that
great.
He still owns the property, you know, outright. And if he does, then he should, you know, he should pay the taxes.
Okay, and that's what we were debating. It's like if he does, then you know, sure, we'll pay the taxes. But if it's been discharged,
well, I would get a reading from the bankruptcy attorney that handled the case.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your help.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
Let's go to Cal in St. Petersburg.
Good morning, Cal. I talked to you about 30 years ago. I have a real estate question, or a trust question rather. If I put my daughter on a quick on the revocable trust, will I lose my homestead benefit? I sold my house of 30 years and moved to St. Pete, and with the portability, my taxes are almost nothing. And if I put my daughter on the quick, you know, on the trust with the quick claim deed.
So you'd put your daughter in as the beneficiary of your house, but you wouldn't put her name on the deed now.
I thought with the revocable trust, I would have to put in a quick claim deed.
Yeah, you would from yourself to yourself as trustee of the trust, and then your daughter could be the successor trustee or the beneficiary, but her name wouldn't be on the deed now as an owner.
Oh, okay, and then that would avoid probate.
Yes, yeah, that's what you want to do. You want to do a quit claim deed from you to you yourself. Well, you know, we do this all the time for our clients. Are you a client or just talk to me 30 years ago?
I just talked to you 30 years ago about a real estate deal.
Yeah. Yeah, so a quit claim deed should be done by an attorney, I'd recommend, from you to you as trustee of your trust to get that in the trust to avoid probate.
Okay. Terrific. I'll be in your office and someone on one of these days, shortly.
All right, very good. Thank you. All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, host of Ask an Attorney for going on 35 years now. And we're here every Saturday morning to answer your legal questions. If you'd like to contact our office, we don't charge for the first review appointment to talk about your what you have and how it could be updated if necessary. We pretty much have all flat fee costs. You want to contact our website to review the fee schedule and other information about the website. It is www.attypip.com. attypip.com. Our toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Again, we have multiple offices all over the state. We have two offices in Pinellas, two in Hillsboro, two in Polk. All of these are on the website, by the way. Jacksonville, Claremont, Leesburg, The Villages, Trinity, Lakewood Ranch, Sun City Center, all active offices where we see clients every week. And again, if you want to contact our office, you have a toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. And every week we come in. Our main purpose is to help people with legal situations and answer their legal questions. And we are more than glad to be here every week. With the awesome opportunity to help people, as many people as we can every day. Hey, Attorney Joe Pippin, hoping you have a great, safe weekend. Be back next weekend, the same time. So long.